Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So I invite you again to follow along with me as we read these words from the book that we love. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Amen. It is a question that I always ask at the first premarital counseling session. And I have to tell you that sometimes the response to the question is just as good, if not better, than the answers themselves. Because I don't know if you know this, but sometimes those couples, as they're sitting across the table from me at that first session, they're a little nervous. What are we getting ourselves into? What are we going to talk to the pastor about our relationship? And so I try to, at the beginning, I try to lob some slow-pitch softball questions to them just to kind of break the ice. And I always close with this question. And sometimes they're just a little shy about it, or they're a little skittish, or they stumble a little bit over their answers, or they just sometimes they're just caught off guard. But sometimes they nail it. You want to know what the question is? It's just this: why do you want to get married? That's it. I ask that question for a purpose. And after I watch them squirm and answer and try to give me something to say, I tell them why that is, what that purpose is. Here's why, and here's what I tell them. I tell them that in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of all the wedding planning and all the details and all the decisions that have to be made, and for some of these couples they're trying to finish a school year, and for some of them they're starting a new job, and some of them are just trying to survive the daily grind of life, and I tell them that sometimes in the midst of all of those things, it is so good and it is so necessary to be reminded, why are we doing this? Because we love each other. Friends, sometimes we need to hear those words. I love you. Westview, that's what this message is all about. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. There's really nothing special about this sermon today. I mean, if you came here wanting to have to learn how to pronounce another Hebrew word like we did last week, or if you came here because you wanted to dive into tons of different scripture stories as we've done before, or if you came here wanting to hear the winsome words woven together by the clever pen of a poet, Or if you wanted to hear a thunderous message that was a rafter-shaking, heart-pounding proclamation of the gospel this morning, kind of sorry. Like maybe come back next week or go back to some of the previous sermons of this series, because I'm going to be honest with you this morning that what I have for us is nothing more than a simple reminder of what God says to us and about us and for us. Because sometimes in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of life, in the midst of all the stress and the schedules and the stress because of schedules, and sometimes in the midst of the fears and the frustrations and in the worries and the anxieties, sometimes in the midst of the hurt and the pain that maybe is in our own life or in the life of a dear friend or a loved one, sometimes in the midst of planning and then plans go awry and then rescheduling and replans, or sometimes in the busyness of celebrations and joys or joyous occasions, and sometimes just in the midst of trying to make it through another day, you know, or make it through another meeting or get through another deadline, you know, sometimes in the midst of all of that, we just need to hear this. We just need to be reminded of this simple truth that this is what the Lord says. I love you. God loves you and me and all of us. Would you do something with me this morning? Would you just say that with me? Would you repeat after me, God loves me? Would you say that with me? God loves me. Are you ready? God loves me. Say that again. Ready? God loves me. Now do, really listen, because I know there's a lot of voices speaking at the same time, but hone in on your own voice, the voice that God gave to you. Listen to your own voice. Proclaim this truth. Say it again with me. Ready? God loves me. Now let's do something else. Would you turn to your right or to your left or in front of you or behind you? Right, get your eyes off me. Turn to your left, to your right, in front of you. Find someone else. Lock eyes with them in this moment. And it might be someone that, it might be a family member you're looking at right now. It might be someone you know here from Westview. It might be a complete stranger you're looking at in this moment. It does not matter, because it does not change the truth of this message. Look at that other person. Lock eyeballs with them and repeat after me. God loves you. Ready? God loves you. You did it? Very good. Turn the other way now. You went left, now go right. You went in front of you, go behind you. Lock eyeballs. And again, you might know this person and you might not. Does not matter. Does not change the truth of this message. Look at them in the eyeballs. And this morning, oh, I see people like looking at each other, looking at me here, right? All right. Say it again. Look at them in the eyes and repeat after me. God loves you. Ready? God loves you. You want to do it again? No, you're good. Okay. All right. Friends, I'm telling you this morning, I'm being honest with you this morning, there's nothing special about this message, but the message that I have the privilege of declaring to you today might be the most important thing you ever hear. Today, this week, this year, or your entire life. God loves you. Check out verse 4 with me. You have your Bibles open yet, I trust. Verse 4. Verse 4 is the middle of our passage. Verse 4 is the kind of the fulcrum of this passage, right? 7 verses, so verse 4 is right there in the middle. And verse 4 is the reason. It is the explanation. It is the rationale for what God has done, what God is doing, and what God promises to do. Look how verse 4 starts. Don't miss those three words. Since you are. Those are important words. Since you are. Those words tell us that what is about to come is rooted in something that is already established. That these words tell us that there is no further work necessary. There's no other task that you and I need to accomplish to make true whatever comes next. Since you are. So that means it's already the case, right? Nothing because of what we've done, nothing because of what we earned. It simply is, has been, and will be, since you are, precious. Bear with me here just a second. I think I'm going to get it. Very good. Precious. When you hear that word, precious, do not have in your mind the voice of Gollum. That's why I wanted to try to take this off. Sometimes I get a little sweaty and worked up here, and sometimes my hands swell, but I got it off, because what does Gollum do, right, Lord of the Rings? My precious. Right? That's not the voice I want you to have in your head. That's not what this word is about. This word means valued. This word means to be valued like a gem of great worth. And rather than having Gollum's voice in your head, I'd like to have someone else's voice in your head. We'll put that picture here on the screen. Are you familiar with this? You familiar with the book or the movie, The Help? Right? You have one of the storylines here, right? Abilene Clack is a nanny, the maid for the Mobley family, and here she is caring for this little girl, May Mobley. Think about May. If you're familiar with it, think about May. Think about the messages that May receives from her own mom. Not really helpful. They're hurtful messages. She talks down to her a lot. And Abilene has this heart to care for little May Mobley. And so she says to her, and she has May repeat after her those words, "You is kind. You is smart. You is important." Friends, that's us in the sight of God. We are important. We are valued. We are precious. Since you are precious. And it goes on. Since you are, verse 4 goes on, since you are precious and honored in my sight. Now the word there for honored really means there's a weightiness to us. But it has nothing to do with the number that's on the scale. Rather, this weightiness is all about dignity or to have respect or to be honorable. I mean, have you ever been in a courtroom, like an actual courtroom, not watching the Law and Order on TV or Judge Judy, right? Have you ever been in a courtroom and when the judge walks in, you ever feel how the whole atmosphere just kind of changes because the honorable so-and-so has entered? That's what this word is getting at. There's this significance about us. And actually, the root word here for honorable is the same root word in Hebrew for holy. This heaviness, this weightiness, this significance. Now, we know that God alone is holy, but this holy God, in His sight, says you and I are honored. We are of importance. We are valued. We have significance. Since you are precious and honored in my sight. And verse 4 goes on, and before we read those next words, let me just pause here. I just want to just name that when I get to this part of the verse and this part of this passage, I'm really in awe about it. That these words are here. I don't know, every time I read this scripture passage, and trust me, I have read this scripture passage a lot over the last month and a month plus in preparation. And every time I get to this point in verse 4, I just have to catch my breath. Because these words are here, those three words, and there's something so remarkably familiar about these words, and yet something so incredibly powerful about them that they're included here. Because I think about those words, you know, these three words, and they're the same exact words that are spoken by sweaty-palmed, nervous, anxious new loves, right, as they're trying to express something to someone else for the very first time. And they're the exact same words that are spoken by a new mom as she holds that newborn in her arms. They're the exact same words that are whispered by those couples that have been married 50, 60 years as they lay their heads on their pillow at night. They're the same words that a little girl is holding her new puppy says, I love you. I love you. Those words are here in verse 4. And what is amazing is that to get our minds around this fact that this God of the universe, right, the God of the universe who is all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present, God is saying these words to you and to me. That the same God who created the grandeur of the mountains, the same God who made the raging seas, the same God with this beautiful artistic design created all the creatures and all the birds and all the insects and all the fish and their beautiful array, and the same God who flung every single star into the night sky of the entire universe, this same God who did this, all these things that we stand in awe of, this same God looks at you and looks at me and says, I love you. I love you. God loves us. And believe it or not, it goes further than that. You ever have anybody tell you that they love you, but they're no longer in the picture? I've had that, right? Someone special who said those three words to me, and then time went by and I was no longer the apple of their eye. Which I just want to clarify this morning, I'm totally okay with today. But it hurts in the moment, doesn't it? It can hurt a lot. And here we are naming that God is saying these three words to us, which is great and which is wonderful. And it's all the more wonderful because of something I want to show you about this love that God is proclaiming to us. And so for this part, we need to jump to that Romans passage. So if you have that passage already open, flip there now or turn with me to the right through the Gospels, through the book of Acts, find Romans 8 with me this morning. Right? You see, it's not just the fact that God is saying to you and me this morning, I love you, but this love that the Lord is professing to us, the Lord is expressing, it's a love that can never, ever, ever, for any kind of reason, any kind of circumstance, any kind of situation at all, ever or never and ever, for no reason at all, can be taken away from us. Romans 8, check out verse 35 with me. It names the question that honestly I would imagine that all of us have asked. Maybe not spoken with our words, but maybe we've thought it and wondered it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, what can separate us from the love that God has for us through Jesus Christ? What can happen? What could I do? How could I mess this up possibly in some way? What could I think? What could I do that will separate or divide God's love from me? And Paul, who is the author here of this passage, he gives some ideas. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Let's keep the list going. Shall bad grades, or poor athletic performance, or a sputtering career, or the addiction we can't kick, or the hot temper, or the number on the scale, or the political leanings, or not fitting the societal norms, or the sporadic devotional behavior, or the bad decision we made, or fill in the blank of the things that are true for you. The realities that are a catalyst for you, that bring up that message that we then tell ourselves, if those things happen, if those things are true, if I do those things, if I've done those things, then that makes us the message we then tell ourselves that we're not lovable. That we are unlovable. Because I believe that we all have those things. I know I've got them. The things that I think about, the things that I've done, the things that I worry about, that I think, well, if that is true, then maybe that makes me unlovable. And maybe sometimes they're messages, sometimes they're tangible items, but there's those things in their lives that if we told ourselves, if this, if that, if this, or if that, then I'm unlovable, I don't deserve to be loved, why could, how could anyone, let alone the God of the universe, love me? Do you have those things? Get them in the forefront of your mind right now. Can they separate us from the love of God? From these, can they separate us from this message that the Lord is saying to us from Isaiah 43? That He says, I love you. Can those things separate us from the love of God? Paul is emphatic. Verse 37, no. No. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. No, they cannot. And now check out the next two verses. Check out verses 38 and 39, which I'm going to go on record of saying might be two of the most important verses you will ever read. Verses 38 and 39, I pray that you take these verses home with you today as you hear the Lord saying to you this morning, I love you. Here's what the verses 38 and 39 say. Paul writes, he says, I am convinced, I am absolutely sure, I am confident of this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you missed it, let me say that last part again. It says this, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Tell me you hear that this morning. Tell me that these words are finding a home on your heart. Tell me that when we hear the Lord saying to us this morning, I love you, and that we're hearing this message from verse 38 and 39, that there is nothing in all of creation that can, that will ever remove God's love from us. No F's on the report card. No bad decisions made in the heat of the moment. No heights missed, no slow races, no shots missed, no lack of promotion, no falling off the wagon, no whatever comes next in your life, no whatever it is, nor anything possibly that could come next to fill in just that sentence. It says nothing in all of creation is able to, can, will be able to separate us from the love of God. This is what the Lord says, I love you. Bless you, it is almost too simple a truth, right? It's almost such a simple message. And yet at the same time, this message is almost nearly incomprehensible. That this is what the Lord says. I love you. You know, whether we find comfort in that, the simplicity of that message, or maybe we stand in awe of its enormity. Hear this with me. I don't believe that there's one person here in this space that in this moment that needs to hear this message that the Lord is saying to us today. I don't believe that there is a select individual or two or three or four in this moment, in this space, that needs to hear what the Lord is saying today. I don't believe that there are several of us here in this moment and in this space that needs to hear what the Lord is saying to us in this message today. I don't believe any of that at all. But I stand before you today on this Sunday morning, May 14, 2023, 100% fully convinced with every bit of my being that every single one of us here listening to these words in this moment, that we need to hear this message that the Lord is saying to us today. He says, I love you. Whoever we are, we need this message. Whether we are the new mom or whether we are the grieving widow, whether we are the star athlete or the brilliant musician or the aspiring actress, whether we are the empty nester or whether we are the graduate ready to spread their wings, whether we are the entrepreneur who is successful or the one who is living paycheck to paycheck, whether we are the retiree or the college kid who's home for break, whether we are the kid who is coloring or the teen who has tuned me out or the person who's taking notes, or whether we are the one who's trying to stay awake right now, whether we are the one who has been worshiping at Westview for years and years, or we are a first-time guest this morning, whether we are the person who is here in this space or we are watching online, whether we have been worshiping here or whether we are here connected and disconnected, whether we are healthy or ailing, whether we are young or whether we are old, whether we've been sailing through life with smooth sailing or we are bouncing along the choppy waters, it does not matter who we are, whatever classification I've yet to name this morning, but includes you, because I want to assure you this morning, this includes all of us this morning. This is what the Lord says. I love you. You are precious. You are honored. You are loved. And Wes, you hear my heart this morning. I pray that you will just receive that today. That you just let that soak in. That you let that come upon your anxious heart and your whirling mind. That you allow those words to be for you whatever you need in this moment. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's promise. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's rest. Whatever it is that you need in this moment, may these words from the God who created us, the God who redeemed us, the God who is with us, may these words be the final gift for us from this passage and from this series. You are precious. You are honored. You are loved. This is what the Lord says. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for your word that speaks. We thank you for this passage that we've been able to dive into week after week. We thank you that in the midst of all the messages that we hear, that this, your voice can ring out and can ring true and can overwhelm and speak into our hearts and into our lives, even in this moment. Thank you, God, that you've spoken to us that we have been created in your image. That we have been redeemed, and that there's no lengths that you would go that to say, you know, you are mine. That you promise that you are with us wherever we go, never leaving, never forsaking us. God, thank you for your message of today. What you're saying to us today, this simple yet powerful truth that you love us. We pray today that we can carry this message with us now, in this moment, and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.